radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Verse 11 says, I have the word, ready to receive it. Judges 6, verse 11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Amen. May God be a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. I didn't put a lot of thought into the title, but I think the substance is going to be what we need on this morning. But the thought title tag is When God Speaks. When God Speaks. Amen. Judges, the book of Judges is lets us see the picture of Israel, after which they came out of Egypt and they possessed the land, and Joshua's gone. There's no, I guess you could say, central leader that you can just mention when it comes to Judges. Israel had gotten to a place where they had gotten complacent. They had gotten to a place where they did what they wanted to do. They, they didn't care about what the Lord said do. They wasn't trying to keep worship the Lord like he intended for them. They began to do whatever they wanted to do. And so in the process of this, in the book of Judges, you'll find that all the enemies of Israel begin to rise up against them, and they begin to take over sometime, and they would have to pay tribute to some. They had to submit to some. And God had made them, it seemed like, had used their enemy as a belt to whip them with. Amen. And so throughout the book of Judges, you'll find that there are different judges or different people. They call them judges because they were leaders that God raised up during a time of oppression, a time of persecution, and a time of tribulation for Israel. And so God allowed them to be raised up so that he could use them as deliverers. So a judge in this text, in the context, is just somebody who God used as a deliverer. And most of them, think about this, were ordinary people. Most of them were folks that God just decided, hey, I can use them, amen? And when we think about this, we have, in the days that we live in, we have a lot of perilous times, especially in our area in Natchitoches. There's a whole lot of things that's going on. And then nobody can really just pinpoint and say we have a true leader that will lead us through this. We can't even look to the White House for leadership. I don't want to talk about that, but I know a lot of people preach about it. But we can't really look for good leadership because, you know, the Bible says when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. So here it is, judges, and we know some of the famous judges. We know about Deborah and Barak. We know about Samson. Remember him, you know, God used him to to whip folks with the jawbone of a donkey. I'll say donkey for the children. But he used them to whip folks, and he was so strong that nobody could, you know, could defeat him. But we get to a person who's not a Nazirite, who's not so strong, who's not, you know, a good, intelligent leader to start out with. We find ourselves today talking about this brother by the name of Gideon. Gideon is, he's one of the, you know, people that was just, you know, trying to survive, trying to make a living, trying not to starve to death. If you read the text, if you start at verse 1 of this chapter, you'll find out the children of Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord. You'll find out that he had given them over to the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. Now, you know how God, look how God works that thing. For a while, for 7 years, they had to be servants to the Midianites for the evil that they had begun to do. Now, the thing about this is that 7 years is a completion of a cycle. 7 days of the week makes a week, right? All right, so God had to take them through a cycle to get them to understand that they couldn't continue in the way that they were going. Now, who is Midian? Midian is the son of Keturah and Abraham. Abraham had some other children after Isaac and Ishmael. And Midian happened to be one of them. Matter of fact, Moses was married to Jethro, who was the priest of Midian. All right, so the Midianites were kinfolk to the Israelites, right? And so God fixed it to where the Midianites, not only them, he said that the Midianites came, and then they also said that the Amalekites came. That means the dwellers in the valley, those who, you know, were in the low places. And then the children from the east came up from a far distance. They came up and encamped against them. They believe it was about 180,000, 135,000 men or somewhere along in there. And so they came up against them, and what they were doing was this. They would wait for Israel to sow a seed, and they would get a harvest, but they wouldn't let them enjoy the harvest. Now, I want to ask the question for you today. You know, the enemy can't stop you from sowing the seed. The enemy can't stop you from receiving the harvest. But what he tries to do is keep you from enjoying the fruit of your labor. Is there anybody in the house today that the enemy is trying to keep you from enjoying the fruit of your labor? He doesn't mind you come and give God some praise. He doesn't mind you sowing a seed of faith. But what he minds is that you're able to testify of the goodness of the Lord and show people what God has done for you. He wants you to hide. Now, we'll get to that in a minute. See, the Bible says that they encamped against them, and they destroyed and increased in the earth. Verse 4, they left no substance for Israel, sheep, nor oxen, nor ass. They didn't even leave them anything to plow the fields with. Wow. They didn't even leave them a donkey to work with. They had, look at this. They made it harder when they left. And the thing about it, these rascals would come, and they wouldn't sow seeds in their own land. They wouldn't work and farm their own land. They just waited till Israel got something, and they took what Israel had. Isn't that something, how the enemy waits on you to seem like you're just about there, and when it seems like you're just about there, he snatches it away? And the thing about it is that, notice something, he said, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and then those from the far east. Come on and say amen. That represents something here. The Midianites represent your folks that's borrowing from you. Every time you get up, they come get what you got, and you go right back down. Y'all don't hear me? A few people do. The Midianites, they related to you. They understand you. They know how you move, how you act when you get paid. The Midianites are watching you because they're close to you. Then you have the Amalekites, who are in the valley. They are the ones, they represent the things that bring you to the blues. The things that bring you low. When you think about it, just bring you low to down in the valley, down in the dumps. These are things that drag you down. Then those from afar, the east, that means, you know, That's the stuff that come out of nowhere that you don't, it's just foreign. You don't have no idea that this stuff is on the way, but it shows up to take its portion from you, whether it's taking your joy, whether it's taking your money, whether it's taking your happiness, whatever, whether it's trying to take your peace, but it comes from afar, out of nowhere. I guess I'm just talking to me today. Out of nowhere, this stuff comes and it starts to eat at you and take things away from you. Now look, I want to show you. It says that they took everything and they didn't leave nothing. All they would do was come like grasshoppers and set up their tents. And look, they let you know they were coming. They would set their tents up, and you know that what you got to do now is hide your stuff. You got to hide your stuff. Look, verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They cried to God because of them being impoverished because of what the enemy had begun to do to them. And sometimes we need to learn how to cry to the Lord. But the thing about this is that even though Israel had did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God had given them over to the Midianites for 7 years, that did not stop God from hearing their call. I know some of us think that God ain't hearing us, but he hears us, but he's waiting on the right moment. He's waiting on somebody that's a hewer. That's somebody like Gideon. Gideon, that means a hewer, you know, that means he's cut out for something. You may not know what you're cut out for, but God has cut you out for a reason. Oh, God has cut you out of whatever cloth he's cut you from, whatever tree he's cut you from. Come on and say, man, whatever family you grew up in, God fixed it. Amen. Look at this. All right. He says that, and the Lord will send a prophet. Look at verse 8. That the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, and brought you up out of Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Da, 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 da. So you know what happened. You know what happened. God delivered them. So God would send them a prophet, but he wouldn't prophesy to them how it was going to happen. All he would remind them of is that God did this already. Why would the prophet not tell them it's going to be all right? Why would the prophet tell them about what happened in the past? Why? It's because they had no faith. All they had was fear, and it took the prophet to tell them, don't you know if God brought you out of the hand of Egypt, that this is no task for him, that he's able to deliver you? Sometime we have to go back. Sometime we have to look back and remember what the Lord has done. Us. We have to remember how God brought us out, how he brought us through, how he brought us over. But the many times we go through right then, we don't see what he's done. We forget all the things that God has done, and we're looking only at how bad it is. We're looking at the Midianites. We're looking at the Amalekites. We're looking at the people who come from the Far East. We're looking at our troubles. We're looking at the ones waiting to devour our happiness, our peace, our joy. And we're not looking at our faith and what God has already done. See, when you fear something, it hinders you from being able to see the favor of God. When you fear, you don't realize you got favor. And if I got favor, I have nothing to fear. We forget about the favor because we have the fear. Amen? And what he was reminding the prophet, God would raise up a prophet, the prophet would speak. When the prophet speak, they were just okay, and then they still wondered why in the world the Midianites, they were still there. They were still taking their stuff. But look at what God did. Look, verse number 11. Verse 11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord that sat under an oak, which was at Ophir, the pertaining to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. Look at this now. Gideon is hiding. He has a little bit of, you know, of the harvest, but he's hiding it so he can try to keep it. You know, you try to hide. But notice where he is. He is by the wine press, hiding there, but he's threshing wheat. There's a threshing floor for wheat. The wine press is for wine. Now, this is an indication that that instead of having joy, they would just survive. You know how your life is. I just want to survive. The Bible says that wine brings joy. Wine makes your heart what? Merry. And so they didn't have, the wine presses were dried up. All they wanted to do is survive. And sometimes we go through stuff and we forget that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And all we want to do is survive. I just want to survive, Pastor. I just want to survive this problem. I just want to survive this trouble. I just want to survive this pain. I just want to survive this financial crisis. I just want to survive this mental breakdown. I wish I had three people and we could have church. I just want to survive. We don't think about the joy of the Lord. I just want to make it. I want to do more than make it. I want to overcome it. Because I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my own testimony. I'm more than a conqueror because he loves me. Wrong message for the wrong church, I guess. But here it was, he was hiding. Nobody had joy. He was hiding. And all he was trying to do is thresh the wheat. Maybe I can get a word. Wheat makes bread, which bread represents the word. I don't have no joy, but maybe I can get a word. If I just get in the right place. He was in the wrong place. But if he can get in the right place, maybe he can get one. But he was trying to see in his hiding place. And that's what we do. We separate ourselves. We hide. And we think that maybe I can get a word out of this. What am I to make of my trouble? How can I see God in this? What is God trying to tell me through this? And we can't receive it because the Bible says we receive the word with joy. All right, that was, all right. Gideon said in verse 12, the angel said. Now we see the condition of Israel and the thing about this, but the angel said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, this is the angel of the Lord. This is what we call the pre-incarnate Christ, right? And so when it says the angel of the Lord, we know who it was, right? So the angel of the Lord looks at their condition and shows up unexpectedly. The prophet already raised up and he told them about what God has done. But then God shows up himself to do it again. I wish I had somebody. See, you hear the word of the Lord, and sometimes we still doubt what God can do or if he'll do it for us. Because we know he can do it, but we wonder if he'll do it for us. But then the Lord has to show up in our face. And look, this is the thing about it. Gideon was doing what he was doing, and he didn't even see that he was too busy hiding that he didn't see the Lord sitting under the oak. But after he got to working a little while, he looked up. Oh, come on and say amen. What was he working on? I'm working on, I need a word. I'm trying to get this bread. I'm trying to make some bread. But while he was doing that, he finally noticed that the Lord was sitting there. And some of us don't know that the Lord been with us all this time. And we don't know that he's right there. All right. He says down verse 12 says he spoke to him and said, thou mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon was a coward. We know that because you'll find out in a minute. I'll tell you what he had to say. But the thing about it is that Gideon was hiding. Gideon wasn't trying to be mighty. He wasn't trying to be a man of valor. He wasn't trying to even be an honorable man. He was just trying to hide so he had some bread to eat so he wouldn't die of starvation. Now, you see, when God speaks, that's what this title is, right? When God speaks, he does not speak to your reality, but he speaks about his ability. That is why the prophet said, God brought you out of Egypt. God delivered. So God does not speak to your reality as if you're really what you say you are, you might be, but he speaks about his ability to change what you are, or to change your condition, or to change the situation. I wish I had somebody. And so God doesn't care about your reality, how bad it is. What he knows is that I can take a bad situation and turn it around for your good. I can take something that looks negative and I can make a positive out of this. I can take something that looked like it's dim and grim and I can shine light out of a dark place. Come on and say amen in this house. Two more people, we can have church. So he spoke to him and said, mighty man of valor. Gideon said, look at this. Look at the contempt of Gideon. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord. In other words, oh, my God. If the Lord be with us, why is this happening? Why have this befell us? Why is all this stuff going on? Why do I have these people taking what I got? Why don't I have joy? Why am I hiding just trying to get a word? Why has this happened? And where be all the miracles? If he can do something, why don't he do it? You know, we talk about Gideon all we want. But we ask, why is this happening? We ask, if God, you a miracle worker, why don't you do it for me? God, if you a healer, do it right now. Come on, we ask the same questions. Gideon ain't no different than any one of us. We get discouraged. You got to understand where his position. He was discouraged. He was discontent. He was distraught about all the stuff that was going on. And this wasn't just 1 year. This was for 7. Some of us would have given up. I know people that want to give up after a few months. But here it was, he's just trying to survive. And he's asking, where is God? He said, where is the miracles that we heard about that our father's sake can happen? Where is the miracles that mama and daddy say that the Lord could do it? Where is the one that when they told me he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time? Where is he? He says that, do not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord has forsaken us? Gideon said, I heard what the prophet said. I heard the preacher that the Lord can, but the Lord has left us to die in this mess. This is what Gideon said. He's forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon was right about that. He had delivered them into their hand, but it was for a period of time. And what we don't understand is that sometimes we go through, but what we go through is for a time. Everything has a time and a purpose and a season. And what we go through, we don't have to continue. God said that it's a time limit. He put an expiration date on the time that the enemy can handle you and hurt you like he's doing. There's a time that it comes that you have to come out. There's a time of deliverance. Everything has a due date. And guess what? If you're in labor right now, if you're feeling the pain right now, I know the doctor gave you a due date, but God said when things are born, it's all on him. I wish I had somebody. Hallelujah. He says, look, that God, where are you? So look at the contempt of Gideon. Can you imagine? He's speaking to the angel of the Lord in contempt, but God didn't get mad. He didn't get offended because he knew it was real. He knew that Gideon was speaking out of being beat down. He was speaking out of fear. He was speaking out of discouragement. And sometimes that's how we pray. We pray out of discouragement. We speak out of discouragement. We speak out of being beat down, broke down, from the things that have happened to us, our environment, how the enemies come in like a flood, and we forget that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. We forget it. Now, after Gideon said this, verse 14 said, and the Lord looked, stared him down, gave him a gaze. You know how it is. You know how when you say something to your mama, and you know, it's, I know you didn't. That's what, you know, and sometimes people being in a position of suffering will cause them to lash out in an incorrect way. Okay. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And so God said, look, Gideon, you can cry. You can complain, you can do all of this if you want to, but it doesn't change the fact that I sent you. See, we can say all we want to say, we can feel however we want to feel, but it doesn't change the fact that God is going to use you for the task. Come on and say amen here. God is going to use you to overcome the enemy that has been eating up your stuff. He didn't say, you know, some of us, we try to run from it. I'm just going to pick up and move away from this enemy. Don't you know that enemy knows that you sow good seed? That enemy knows that you got a green thumb when it comes to it. Come on and say amen. He knows that you got a harvest. And you think that just because you got up and left that the enemy's going to stay right there? No. He's going to follow you where He's going to follow you where you are because he knows that you're going to grow something that he can eat. He knows that you're going to be blessed. So he's going to follow the blessing because he himself won't position himself to be blessed. You wonder why some people attach themselves to you and you say, how in the world I got all this? Now, especially you ladies, how in the world? It's because you're blessed. And when you don't know it, the enemy knows it. Gideon didn't feel blessed. Israel didn't look like they were blessed. They were struggling and suffering. But at the same time, if they dropped a seed in the ground, it came up a harvest. You don't know that you're blessed, but the enemy knows you're blessed. And God has to tell you who you are. And so he calls you a mighty man of valor, Gideon. He calls you a child of his. He calls you those that sow and can reap. Those that are the head and not the tail. Those that are the lender, not the borrower. He calls you something else. So no matter what your reality is, God speaks to his ability to change your reality. Woo. Yes, he does. He speaks. I don't care how you feel, what it looked like, what you've been through. He can look past all of that because he knows the end at the beginning. He knew you would be in this state right now where you are, but he knows you can go on past that. He knows that at the end of this, you'll be blessed. There will be glory after this. There will be joy after this. There will be peace after this. After this. Tell somebody, after this. Yeah, I've been threshing my wheat by the wine press, but I'm telling you, I'm going to get some grapes this time. Look. You got to understand, all he could do is get a little bit of wheat, but at the same time, they were growing grapes, and they couldn't enjoy the grapes. But this time, I'm going to get some grapes. This time, I'm not just going to have bread, but I'm going to have bread and wine. I'm going to have some communion. I wish I had some. Look at verse 15. I'm going to get out of here. I didn't help nobody but me today, but I'm going to get out of here. He said, verse 15, he says, and he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing to save Israel with. He says, behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Look at how Gideon's trying to whip her out. All he wants to do is survive. When are we going to stop wanting to just survive it and start deciding that we are overcoming? He said, I don't have nothing to save with. I need some money. I need some food. My family is poor. We don't have nothing. And I can't help Israel. You said Israel, Lord. Now, you didn't just say me. But Gideon didn't understand the greater one was going to help him. He said, I'm with you. He was with. We forget that God is with us. And he told him, he said, he began to complain and he began to feel, you know, cowardice because he knew of his insufficiencies in life. And sometimes when God speaks, the enemy want to put our mind right back on what we can't do. When God speaks to us, the enemy makes